Live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, here we go on a Tuesday. Cofield and Company, Adam Lewis and Griffin's here. Rare spot for the Findlay Toyota Studios. Glad to be here. Busy day. I love the fact that Adam is all over the Raiders beat. So Tuesday, going into the season, we're like, okay, Tuesday is a pretty light day. Adam's going to do every Tuesday. And then every Tuesday we come in, something is happening that's crazy. Sometimes on the Raiders front, oftentimes on other fronts. And
sometimes both.
I don't know what you're writing about today, because we've got freaking AP Lightgate with Davante Adams, and now Adams has demanded a trade, and we've also got conference chaos with news from around the Mountain West Conference. We'll get to the Mountain West Conference and who they're trying to add, who they may have added in the next couple of minutes. But we got to come out and talk about the NFL and why there are certain organizations that are constantly mired in that 4 to 9 win range every year. And the 9 win upside is often kind of phony. You win some close games. It's not really doing you much good in the draft, because if you're a 4 to 9 win organization, you probably don't have that franchise quarterback. So let's start with the Jets. And this is minor as compared to what's going on with the Raiders. But the similarities are there. It's drama where there doesn't need to be any drama. Things can be taken care of behind the scenes, but there's constantly leaks and stuff gets out front. And now when you throw in social media, who knows? I'm going to link together the Jets and the Raiders in this way. This is either immaturity or a lack of common sense with both of the coaches. So let's start with Robert Saleh. We'll go back to Sunday. They lose a bad game to the Broncos. There's miscommunication as far as just getting the snap off. There's ridiculously embarrassing miscommunication down the stretch for the Jets. Hey, there it is, the classic back shoulder. Oh, the receiver doesn't know it's coming. Oh, there's a ball over the middle. Oh, Rodgers throws it. Whatever, 18 yards, the receiver seems to be running to the 23-yard mark. And then there was the post game where Robert Saleh, for some reason, after his offensive line keeps jumping, and that includes veteran players. Like, I'm not gonna kill some of the guys on the line. They should know what they're doing. And Robert Saleh, who's a defensive guy, makes a suggestion about cadence. Maybe we need to change the cadence. And Aaron Rodgers, like, he truly was shocked by it. This is him in the press conference.
It's one way to do it. The other way is hold them accountable. I mean, we haven't had an issue. We've had one false start. Morgan had one false start, I believe, until this. So it's been a weapon. We use it every day in practice. We don't, you know, we rarely have a false start. And to have, I don't know, 5 today, it seemed like, 4 or 5. Yeah, it seems like an outlier. I don't know if we need to make mass changes based on, you know, kind of an outlier game.
And the whole vibe from Rodgers is, who said that? That's moronic. Without going to that length.
Yeah.
Now, I wish Rodgers had just taken the high road and given, like, a 5-second answer. We'll take care of that in some discussions behind the scenes. And just move on. But he also added fuel to the fire during the game, throwing a towel on his head, being all dramatic. Then Saleh, of course, has to unravel it yesterday, backs off. But these are the things that make you a losing organization when you're not buttoned up. And then you can start with this from the beginning. I can't even believe that it's not the start of it, but maybe this is the thing that finally threw the match on the fire. We're liking posts on social media. An NFL coach is liking posts on social media. Seriously?
This is right in your world.
Hey, you told me 5 years ago to stop doing it.
Yes.
I actually did not realize how it doesn't matter with me, but how many people look at likes. I never look at likes.
It
I don't care.
In
but
your
I didn't
world.
But I didn't know. So you told me, and now I've stopped doing that.
Yeah. It matters in your world, the people you know, people around you, people are associated with you. Antonio Pierce's world just happens to be a lot bigger.
Do you look at posts Instagram. I don't think you do Facebook. You do very little Twitter now. Do you look at posts to see who liked it?
Very, very, very rarely.
I've never even thought of it.
But the issue with Instagram is the most, like, I don't even know how the algorithm figures it out, but it's either the most prominent person or the person that you follow most closely. It'll say liked by X and 36,000 other people. So for so many people, if you follow Antonio Pierce and check out his posts and everything else, and he's part of your algorithm, that post says liked by Antonio Pierce and a million other people. So you don't have to look at the likes. It's just there on the post.
Yeah.
It says like the number one person that liked it.
I didn't even know
there
that.
It is. Yeah, Antonio Pierce.
But an NFL coach needs to know that.
Yeah.
And so what was this post?
The post was actually, it's funny enough, a Sports Illustrated fantasy expert had opined that Davante Adams may have played his last down with the Raiders already. And Antonio Pierce liked the post.
What is, like, who is this person that he's even, is he following it? Was it rando?
No, Sports Illustrated put it out as like, hey, our
like
fantasy guy
under their
said,
umbrella.
Yeah. Yeah, our fantasy guy said this. And he liked it, which, come on, man. Now, can you accidentally like a post? Sure. You can. I've done it. I think most people that are on Instagram have done it.
Who was a baseball player who liked like 7,000 porn?
That was accidental.
Porn post.
It was Carlos Martinez, right? The pitcher for the relief pitcher for the Cardinals.
I forgot about that guy.
Yeah,
that didn't end his career. I think arm troubles did.
Well, arm troubles because of all the posts he is liking and what he's doing with them.
That's a good point. I set you up there. Yeah. Knock it out of the park.
So yeah, Antonio Pierce did this, and this is not the first unforced error, even of the week. Like, I do think a lot of this stems back to him calling out business decisions last week. Some players were upset. Jack Jones obviously is the one that everybody pointed out. But my thought after he said it and after watching the tape was he was also referring to Davante Adams.
For drops?
And just, like, not competing on catches where he got balls knocked away.
Right.
And, man, there's some downfield blocking that was really questionable last week. And so was he referring to Davante? Probably. And that doesn't go over well with not only with Davante Adams, but it does, those comments don't go over well in the locker room in general about players.
When did the story emerge? Was it overnight?
About Davante?
About AP liking this post.
The post happened last night.
Okay.
He was on with Kay Adams early this morning.
Okay.
In his weekly spot on Tuesdays.
You know I have an affinity for Kay Adams.
I know you do.
Her interview style is so freaking awesome. So here's Kay Adams on her, a sportsbook back show. She gets the biggest guest. She was on NFL Network. Here she is, and this is a weekly spot with Davante Adams.
Or your coach did, I actually don't know, likes this post about you getting traded. When you heard of that, I guess my first question is, how soon did you hear from coach?
I haven't heard from him. I haven't talked to him. So I haven't, I don't know. I don't really know exactly what that was about. Obviously, I got, social media is a beast. So it's a lot of people out there that saw it and, wondering what's going on and people reaching out. And yeah, I haven't spoke to him.
So Antonio Pierce liked a post saying that it could be Davante Adams' last game or this is it. He's no more games with the Raiders.
We should be clear that he also unliked it.
Oh, he changed it.
He did. He okay. unliked.
Here's the fascinating thing about Kay Adams. I'm going to go behind the curtain here because there is a way to talk to people off the record to get information. There's ways to interview people on air. And I've always thought, I don't want people to do this, but if someone starts cursing casually with us, I'm like, we did a good job. Like, they have forgotten they're on radio. And I guess, I don't know what your style is, if you even think about it. Mine is just kind of to be sort of casual in conversation and kind of chummy. Right? And maybe they let down their guard. Listen to Kay Adams here because she's just reacting naturally. Plus, she keeps doing her hair behind her ear. She's leaning over. Like, she looks like she's ready to fall asleep, but I think it's on purpose that she's doing this.
I'm surprised by that. Okay. Well, I would think you work together every day. So if that, I would say, oh, shoot, I accidentally hit that. I unliked it. Now it's this huge story. Is that just kind of like what the dynamic is? That's not something that you want to hear from him.
Like, she sounds like she's stumbling and struggling, but I think she's legitimately trying to find what the hell is going on.
Well, I think she was stunned.
She basically asked, like, wait, is this your relationship?
Yeah. I think she was genuinely stunned that he hadn't called.
Yeah. I mean, but she's always kind of in this relaxed, like,
yeah.
Man, I'm kind of blown away. Like, can you explain this to me? Like, that doesn't sound like it's a fact-finding mission. Like, it's an honest, like, hey, I need to know. Like, what's going on here? She's great. And then it's Adams bizarre. Continues, and you'll hear him, you know, towards the end. He's just like, yeah, once again, I'm not the one creating the drama.
Honestly, it's hard to comment on.
Okay.
I'm sure you would imagine as such, but it's one of those situations where I just keep my head down and keep doing my thing and, you know, let the chips fall where they may as it pertains to that. But I haven't, there's been no communication with anybody from the team since that became a thing. But, you know, it's kind of just like the weekly what's up with Tay thing. You know, it's always some sort of drama. But at the end of the day, 1-7 doesn't create any of it. So people can say what they want, but I'm just chilling, trying to be the model for, you know, not stirring the pot and just locking in and doing what I got to do.
I thought that Adams could be on the move this year. I figured the halfway point, maybe the Raiders get out of the gates and they're just terrible. They're 2-6. They're 2-2. I don't think things are going great, but they're trying. They're fighting. You know, some nice schemes. Defense stepped up on Sunday. I would have never imagined that now we're reading Davante Adams demanding a trade, according to lots of people. Vinny had a good scoop this morning. A Rappaport, he put that out. I would have never, if you had told me this is the way it would happen, I mean, I guess I wouldn't be blown away, but I'm kind of shocked that an NFL coach liking a post has now sent this over a freaking over the cliff.
I mean, it's pretty bad.
It's outrageous.
It's unforced error after unforced error.
Yep.
With Antonio Pierce's administration so far. It won't stop.
Well, we said it last week, the business decision thing. I mean, you could make the comment, but you might want to tell the guys in the locker room before you go in front of the media. You might want to tell them ahead of time, send that message, and then say it to the media. And then this isn't even media driven.
Well,
I don't know what you're just scrolling the, and you're like, oh, I know that guy, Davante Adams. Oh, what?
It also, like, it was one last week too that it kind of went away because so many other things happened. But after, you know, on Monday morning, 24 hours to think about the game, or, you know, 15 hours, whatever it is, to think about the game, and Antonio Pierce was asked, you know, Aiden O'Connell came in at the end of the game. Is there, you know, potentially a quarterback switch coming?
Yeah.
And he said, you know, we have to have a discussion with the team and talk to everybody about what's going on.
What?
And then later in the day, it comes out, there was never a consideration of making a switch. That was not going to happen.
Right.
And Wednesday when we asked about him, he said, no, we weren't thinking about making a switch. Then why not just say he's our quarterback? Like, why are you creating drama when there's no need for drama?
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Fun Friday on the way. Adam Hill, you're headed out of town for the Broncos weekend?
Yep, be in Denver.
What are you doing? You're missing UNLV in Syracuse.
I know. I'll be watching it probably on the plane, unfortunately.
What a bummer. From 4:30 to 5:45, they're doing something really cool. Stadium's open early. You can go to the Torch Bar. So you go upstairs by the Al Davis Torch at the Al, and they're going to have half-price beers. We'll get more specific specials when they come along. Meet and greet with UNLV legends. Kenny Mayne, former quarterback on the UNLV Rebel team. And who is the greatest athletic performer in the history of UNLV?
Oof. It's tough.
Is it?
I think you would probably say Mickey Sudo.
Okay. Mickey Sudo will be there. The hot dog eating champion. She'll be meeting and greeting and kissing babies. But don't put any food in front of her.
No, they'll be gone.
Well, no, I think she'll be disciplined and say, no. Because here's what's happening. And this is actually going to be on the stage upstairs. They're doing a donut eating contest at halftime of Syracuse and UNLV. Mickey Sudo will face a bunch of challengers. You're listening to one of the challengers right now.
Oh, boy.
Me.
Oh, boy.
I've got details on this. It is a speed eating contest, as many are, but it's not timed. It's just 2 dozen donuts. Who can eat them the fastest? There are other celebrities aside from Mickey who are in this contest. We will talk to one of them in 20 minutes. I'll leave it at that.
Oh, boy.
Maybe less than 20, about 13 minutes.
Okay.
And the donut eating contest, because they will be pink donuts, just the color pink, is in recognition of Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So try to help the effort to raise money. But yes, Mickey Sudo, as it says here, will headline a half-comp competition where contestants will go head-to-head in a thrilling race to see who can consume the most pink donuts, but that has been altered to 2 dozen donuts the fastest.
You hinted at somebody that's going to be in it. Do you think you're going to beat that person?
I don't know. We'll find out. We'll find out how confident they feel. Right now, I don't eat a whole lot. Even though I'm incessant with the food pictures. Like, it just looks like I'm eating all the time. I had a fast food chicken sandwich, and I feel very full right now. So I don't know how I'm going to. It's not good. I didn't do the training I wanted to do.
I haven't starved myself. Supposed to eat more and more each day and then fast for 24 hours before.
24, you think?
I think so.
Okay. Well, we're going to find out tomorrow from the real expert. Mickey will be with us early in the show.
I have a feeling.
Which, please, everyone on the show contain themselves. If Willie Ramirez is listening right now, he's in tomorrow. He gets so giddy, and so do I, but he gets so giddy when we have the competitive eaters on.
Yeah.
It's all.
But also, and I know we're talking around who the person is, but
yeah.
I don't feel like the person that you're going to be, one of the people you're going to be competing against is going to do any like training or prep, even though they're very competitive. You're going to be like, I'm going to show up and just eat donuts.
But they do have a record of winning a eating contest. I don't. They have won an eating contest recently.
Tough competition.
So this is kind of a break for you because you get to do a show, you're writing during the breaks, but you don't really have to delve into this too much. But I do have to pick at something here with the Davante Adams demand for a trade because, well, the final straw is Antonio Pierce going on social media and liking a post that said Davante Adams may have played his last game for the Raiders. I mean, it's just, this is like 15-year-old stuff. It's crazy. Do you sense that he's been sort of a disruptive force?
Especially recently.
Okay. Just about no production? Not getting the ball?
I mean, I think that goes back. I think part of that part.
Right.
But I think it's also, look, when you are, and I thought this when he first came in, I didn't think it made sense. And I thought going forward, like when you are an established star, elite player, chasing history, chasing records, everything else, why are you on a developing team with not much around you?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you want to be there? Why are you? And again, he was traded here, and he wanted to be here at the time. Thought there was, you know, this is, when he got here, it was a team that was coming off a playoff run. They thought that they were going to be better than they were, which I never thought they were. But they thought that they were building something. But now, going into this year, everybody kind of knew they weren't going to be great,
right? And that at some point he would be disillusioned and want to move on. And now it's just been accelerated because of what looks like unnecessary drama, not thinking things through. I get the feeling, and I'm not down there all the time like you are, and I've got other sources. I get the feeling that he's not the only disruptive force, and he may not be the biggest disruptive force on this team with veterans. Which, when I heard this, I was like, wow, okay. They're 2-2.
Yeah.
Things aren't great. They're not terrible. And ain't freaking Doug Peterson and the Jaguars.
Well, they won last week. Without Davante and other people. So that was interesting.
Why am I right? There is other stuff swirling with this group.
Well, I think.
It's cool to express this pleasure with how the team is doing. But there's also doing it where you're under control, where you don't become a disruptive force.
Sure, but I also...
A negative force. By the way, this is the term I heard. And we've talked about this on the show. And Johnny G brought this up years ago. I heard energy vampire. Hello.
Sure, potentially.
Hello.
Anyone
have a job where you walk in and there's generally someone there who's the energy vampire and you're like, God, this is just, it's not fun.
Yeah, I think that could potentially be part of it. But I also think this is, in general, one of the problems that you run into when there's player-run organizations or employee-run office places, that sort of thing. When things are good, it's great.
Yep.
When things aren't great, what happens?
So you're saying when players get their way, it doesn't always mean that they're going to stick with their way.
Yeah, no, everybody getting their way when things are going well is great.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, let's just keep this up. Everybody keep doing the same thing. We lost. Whose fault? No, it's your fault. No, I think this is good. We should do this. Like, okay, what's the direction?
Wow.
How do we turn this around? But I think that's in general for an organization that is run that way. And that was the issue that we talked about last year with, should Antonio Pierce get the job? And everybody said everything's great. Vibes are great. How long does that last? And I guess, I think potentially they can find out or potentially they can make changes and come back. I mean, look, last week they went into a game without, their two best players. I was going to say arguably. They played without their two best players. And they won. So, just because things look like they might be going into chaos a little bit, yeah. Not always are.
Let me put a bow on what we were talking about at the beginning of the block, and that is Syracuse is in town to take on UNLV. UNLV ranked in both of the polls for the first time in program history. Cuse is a good team from Power Four, just one loss. You got the celebration before the game at the Torch, a nice happy hour from 4:30 on, and then the game kicks off at 6 o'clock. Plenty of tickets available. UNLVtickets.com, UNLVtickets.com, and this team absolutely deserves the backing. And, man, Syracuse can score. So if you enjoyed or you saw from a distance what UNLV did against Fresno State, this one's a freaking barn burner. I don't know if UNLV can stop Syracuse, but I don't know if Cuse can stop the Rebels.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Adam Hill juggling the Raiders, UNLV football, conference chaos. We're watching all of it as well, and we're glad to have him on today. Of course, Adam from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Interesting after the game the other day on Saturday. There was some tense moments with Barry Odom, who was not happy about how the Sluka 100K, all that stuff, was covered, saying that he thought there were some agendas out there. Ricky White lightened it up at the end. Kind of stayed around while Jackson Woodard and Odom got up to walk away from the table and mentioned, hey, to the casino person who offered to contribute $100,000, I would ask you to give that money to our offensive line. It's a nice message. It's on brand with Ricky White. He's super unselfish guy. He's a leader. Yesterday, Mike Gormala. Mike has a gift of getting people at these press conferences of opening up. I think you might hear Mike a little bit on this. But
Kay Adams.
Yes. But Mike was asking the center, Jack Haas, and then Catalan jumped in about Ricky's plea to give the money to the offensive line.
Ricky White said that the casino owner who offered $100,000 gave it to the offensive line instead.
Facts. I'll let Rick speak on that one, but it really shows just the character of Ricky at the same time. I think a lot of people played it off as a joke just because of, they don't necessarily know Rick and his mannerisms. But, when Rick talks, he means it because he doesn't talk a whole lot. Going back, that's awesome that you would consider that. And
would you decide how it's divided up?
I think that's only right, I'm an economics major. I can divvy it up, we'll figure it out.
Good line. Quick on his feet. Sure. Jack Haas, the transfer in for a couple of years from Buffalo. Smart guy. By the way, the first uproarious laughter was from the sound guy. He thought that when Catalan was like, whatever he said, true dad or something. I don't know what he said. But the guy's like, ah! Okay. Good. All right.
I'll also say I was doing a newsy podcast this morning.
Is that right? Were you on NPR again?
Yeah, but this was a different one besides
that. Really?
It's been nonstop. But
hold on.
Yeah.
Lower your tone. Let's get into the NPR mode.
So here's no.
I love your interviews. You're understated a lot of times. You get boisterous on this show, but every time you go on there, I'm like, why is he whispering?
Well, I'm trying to do why news at him.
Why are we having this conversation?
So, and I did an even more hardcore news podcast today.
Okay.
It was even more of the professional subdued Adam. But
you're not professional here.
They said, So I guess one of the offensive linemen said, hey, why not us? Why not give us the money? And I said, no, that actually was a wide receiver who's advocating for another position.
Just how we twist these things.
I know, exactly.
Right? Yes.
Yeah.
We act. That's AI, Jack Haas.
Yeah.
He really said, you know what? Ricky's right.
And I'm not.
I'll take the money, I'm going to give it to who I want to give it to. I'm taking 90.
I'm not criticizing because, by the way, this show did so much research to try to figure out how to, like, properly, like, they were all over it,
really?
Trying to figure it out, even though they knew nothing about it. So credit to them. But yeah, they were like, an offensive lineman? What? Like, no. He was advocating for somebody else to get the money.
I did one the other day with NBC Local, and it was like 11 minutes, and I'm looking at the clock. I'm like, man, this is it's going for a long time. These TV interviews are like real quick hit, and, you know, it's like 12 minutes, and they use like 32 seconds, and then I didn't realize the guy posted the entire thing. I just saw it this morning. I'm like, wow, okay.
How about
there were some interesting questions in there too, and it was before a lot of the information about all of last week had become more mainstream. It's like, okay.
So I was running around Friday, and I'd agreed to do this show.
Mm-hmm.
They called me. I'm answering questions for about 45 minutes.
Wow.
And they said, okay, cool, this is good information. I'll pass this on to the host. And then I was like,
what? Oh, no!
It's a pre-interview?
Oh, no.
What on earth? And then it was about 45 minutes today.
You booked me for an hour and a half.
Yeah. I was like, what are we doing here? It was a cool experience. I'm not making fun of it. It was very different.
Oktoberfest is here. Get over to Ellis Island in the front yard. They've got an Oktoberfest menu that includes cheddar brats, schnitzel, and then a sausage platter with three specialty sausages. You know, they do their own craft beer at the front yard in Ellis Island, and they've got an Oktoberfest beer. So get over there. It's Koval and Flamingo. Great place to watch all the games in UFC 307 this weekend on Saturday. And now they've got their special Oktoberfest menu with a brewski. Get on it.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, Adam, did you figure out when I was talking about the donut eating contest who the one of the celebrities is going to be aside from Mickey Sudo?
Well, I mean, I think I already knew, but I hope the people had enough clues.
We gave no clues.
Kind of.
Not really.
Well, maybe.
Here he is. I think the top challenger based on his speeding ability against Mickey Sudo. I am in the contest, but I have no shot. This is going to go down Syracuse UNLV game Friday night at halftime. Donut eating contest in to bring awareness to Breast Cancer Month. And Kevin Kruger is with us, the Runner Rebels head coach. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Are you fasting right now?
Not yet. I don't think I've ever actually fasted, unfortunately.
You did fast a hot dog, to not use the word correctly, but you do have experience in the speed eating stuff. So can you go back and describe around the 4th of July what you did to Bear Cherry?
Yeah, well, first of all, I keep finding myself in eating contests. I'm not really sure what that says or what the what Gene is trying to tell me, but here we are, and I'm excited. But Bear was my first opponent, the first round matchup, I guess, if you will, and July 4th, hot dog eating contest, and a couple of guys backed out, but Bear never wavered, so he needed a challenger, and I gladly accepted. And I think I just caught him a little by surprise. You know, he didn't follow the scouting report. And, you know, I got the hot dog down pretty good.
Me and Steve were discussing the fact that he needs to eat as much as he possibly can, expand the stomach, and then fast for like 24 hours leading up to the competition. My thought is that you're just going to go in and do it. I don't think you're going to have all these kind of preparations, but you are pretty competitive. So is there any kind of preparation you're going to do?
I think I'm just going to kind of bank on my love for donuts and just, you know, just kind of try to tap into that. I know that, you know, if Vegas was going to put a line out, I think there's a pretty clear favorite. So I think we're just going to have to find, you know, dig deep and, you know, kind of find that, you know, that fire within and, you know, maybe pull off an upset.
I don't know if you can win it overall, but I think you have to beat Steve. Like, that's got to be the objective.
Yeah.
You're teeing him up.
Get a little side bet going. I can hear you guys kind of go in that direction. I'm all ears on that on that conversation. But, whoever's in view is going to be a competitor.
Wow, that was a nice way of saying it.
Yeah.
I'm going to truck you. Yeah. I'm going to destroy you. I guess it'd be weird for you to give like a pregame or a pre-eat speech since you're in it, like to get me fired up because you're trying to beat me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can't give you any advantage. So, but, you know, you just got to, like we tell the guys. Yeah, well, I mean, unfortunately, it's not a team sport, you know, so the pregame hero speech probably wouldn't translate too well because, you know, we talk always about playing for each other. And, you know, that's actually what we probably should do is we should just try to total ours up together and maybe be competitive.
That is actually a great idea. They did one on Netflix, an eating contest with chicken wings, and it was three former Olympic swimmers against this guy, Matt Stoney, and they still got destroyed. It was like a three-minute eat-off. He did like 50-plus, and I think they actually did well. They did like 36. You know what? I've never asked you, are you – because you can get fiery. Do you have more fiery pregame speeches on your ledger or halftime speeches on your ledger?
Halftime, for sure. Yep. I think I feel that I've always been pretty kind of calm before games and, you know, just kind of thinking and trying to project what could happen in situations and scenarios. But even as a player, I always felt after you had a half under your belt, it was kind of there should be an understanding and a knowledge. And I think there's just so much you want to say as a coach or even as a player at halftime. You want to get so many things off your brain that you saw and felt and experienced. And it's definitely the same way now. I think after you see things the way they play out, what advantages you might be able to capitalize on or what you definitely need to change to do better. It's the halftime is definitely where we don't spend much time in the coach's locker room. We spend a lot of time with the players and just talking and trying to figure things out.
Do you think before games, and even like a couple days out, that you'll use any of this conference chaos stuff? Like, hey, these five schools are bailing on us. Like, could you use that as material? I couldn't get a player to say it, and Barry Odom didn't say it, but there had to be a little bit of that. And the week was already dotted with the stuff with the quarterback. But I wonder if some of UNLV's motivation is, hey, these guys are leaving us behind. Let's freaking bury them.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, you just don't have as many schools anymore either where you have third-year juniors and fourth-year seniors that have been with the program.
Yeah, you're right.
So I do think there's a little bit of it. It's a, you know, even in reading last week, it's, you know, this it's the Pac-12. But in my opinion, I thought what we did was, and again, I don't know all the details like you and I talked about on Monday, but it seems like we made a very good, solid decision for the well-being and the future of UNLV. And whoever we're playing in conference, so be it. It was one of those decisions where it truly felt that, you know, now that the dust has settled a little bit, that Harp and President Whitfield made the decision without consideration of perception from this area or this geography or this pocket of alums. It was just truly what we felt would help UNLV take the next steps forward to continue to grow as the athletic department's done now the last handful of years.
Kevin Kruger's with us. Adam Cofield. It's Cofield and Company. Kevin Kruger's going to be part of the halftime donate eating contest to benefit Breast Cancer Awareness Month. That'll be at the Syracuse and UNLV game. So give me your impression on what UNLV's doing here because each week gets better. I mean, they've had a tough time. They've been close the last 3 years. Football has with Fresno State. But, I mean, you want to send a message. That was a complete effort.
Oh, I mean, it's, you know, we're leaving games. We're watching games now, and it's, I mean, we're leaving every single one, even going back to Houston, that, you know, we felt, you know, we're better. We're better than them. You know, it's not, you know, it was, of course, you know, first game, Big 12 opponent at Houston, you know, you're kind of like, all right, well, let's see. You know we love the team and Coach Odom and what they're doing, but obviously, it's a Big 12 team. It comes with a reputation and in the state of Texas and Houston. And, you know, we left that game, watching that game, saying, no, we're better. And then, you know, it's kind of just been that way every week. It's like, no, this is after, I guess, the Kansas game. It was kind of like, this isn't just kind of a flash in the pan playing on adrenaline or, you know, oh, well, they did this and that, or else we would have lost. I mean, we're winning individual battles left and right. They're playing incredibly hard. I mean, people can't run it on us. Having a hard time throwing it. Offensively, we're in sync. But I think as you and I have talked about in the past, it's from a coach's perspective, and I could never pretend to coach football, but we don't have penalties. You know, we don't beat ourselves. We're incredibly solid, and don't give up big plays, and you know, take care of the ball, and give ourselves a chance to score, because that's also kind of how basketball is played. If you don't give it to the other team, give them free points. If you're solid, you get good shots up. You're gonna have a chance to win games, and that's kind of what it feels like. The football version that they're doing, you know, hard to run against, getting great time for the quarterback to make plays, and not beating ourselves. And it's fun to watch. It's fun to cheer for. These guys are, and now with the added momentum of last week, I think it's nothing but great for UNLV football going forward.
That's Kevin Kruger, coach of the UNLV basketball team, getting ready for their upcoming season. But talking a little bit of UNLV football right now, what can the success of the football program do for you guys? How can you kind of take advantage of and capitalize on what they're doing on the football field?
Oh, I mean, it really can't even probably be put into words. It's just, it creates an unbelievable buzz and atmosphere and interest in UNLV sports as a whole. And, you know, football, it's the kind of the first sport, right? When school starts, and it's the most noticeable sport of any school, it's the most notable sport in the country. But, you know, when your football team gets off to a hot start, I think it can't do anything but help all sports, not only in winter, but also throughout spring, because it brings so much positive attention and positive energy to UNLV athletics. And we have talked in years past even about, you know, the Aces or the Knights or the Raiders making the playoffs or any of those sports. Also, it's, again, just bringing positive energy and a positive atmosphere to sports in Vegas. And, of course, with football being tied to the university, I don't think it's going to do anything but help attendance and interest and people paying attention to UNLV sports going on for the rest of the year.
Kevin Kruger's with us here on Cofield & Company. You can buy basketball tickets at unlvtickets.com right now. The opener slated for November 4th against Alabama State. Memphis is shortly after that. There are cheap packages and expensive packages as low as $24 available for these opening games in this season. You knew what the non-con schedule was for a while, and I think you guys were sitting on the conference schedule. Now that those are both out, I was looking at the toughest stretches. You have another one of those trips where you're at Boise and then shortly after at CSU. That's a tough one. It's a little more spread out than I think the one last year where you stayed on the road. Would you stay on the road for that one in early January?
No, not with the 3 days in between. Okay. I also don't. We don't expect to be having a child at that point in the year,
okay.
unless something really odd happens in the next 4 months.
But, I forgot you had to go. You were back and forth and back and forth.
Yeah, it was a pretty hectic 3 days. But with the deal that Maury Gallagher with the Legion helps us with, it takes a lot of those conversation pieces away in terms of travel and. You know, when do you get back? How much rest? When's your practice? Those things, because we're able to usually get back after games, and that trip now with that extra day off in between, we'll be able to come back home and then go back out.
And then another tough stretch is actually at the very end of the season. You'll probably be trying to cement some big things at that point. You got Reno, San Diego State at home, at New Mexico. Boise's not in that mix, but with Boise, those may be, you know, the top four teams in the conference along with you guys in terms of who's going to win this thing.
Yeah, certainly projected based off the last handful of years, the reputation and guys coming back. As we all know, conference schedules and conference seasons, you know, don't always play out the way they're expected to. But no doubt with those coaches alone and those programs that they'll certainly be probably competing for a conference championship, and we hope to be in that mix as well. And but yeah, I think honestly, I haven't paid very much attention to the conference schedule. This is a group that we just are really focused on the upcoming scrimmages we have, and then the early games in November to get off to a good start. Because you know, this group is a group that I think does a very good job. They're going to look at tomorrow. They're going to look at the day after. They're going to look at, you know, when it comes, and they're going to be able to really. Get better and make adjustments and adapt to whatever's going on. So we're really excited about this group.
All right, Coach. Yep, we appreciate it. Thank you for popping on with us, and I will see you out there on Friday for the Donut Eating Championship.
No problem. Remember, don't eat until Friday.
Exactly.
There he is, Kevin Kruger.
Go fast.
I think he's trying to intimidate me.
I think he's in your head already.
Yeah, he's trying to get me to fast too early. I think that's too early. What, yeah, that's a veteran move right there.
He's competitive. He might downplay it a little bit, but he's competitive.
I will cut off.
I think you're in trouble.
Do you think I could do 36 hours fast?
I think it's possible.
I think I can. But this is at halftime, so you're going to be at the game. You should get out there early up on the by the Torch. They've got that bar up there. 4:30, they're going to open that thing up with half-price domestic drafts. Other drink offers as well, so it'll be cool.
I wouldn't partake until you're
imagine.
Done with the donuts.
Yes. Yes, but I won't. I can't do it anyway. I'm on the air.
That's fair.
Although I could have people sneak some beers up to me.
Sure, you could.
Why not?
You probably eat a lot more donuts when you're intoxicated.
Right? All worries go out the window?
Yeah.
I mean, I have a track record. That is part of the reason I am who I am and why I look this way. Drinking does not help you stay on any sort of diet or stay disciplined.
It does not.
not at all.
You stumble out of bed and just find the donuts on the counter.
Friday, the donut challenge against Mickey Sudo at Allegiant.